This is Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3, Urbana.
This is Keeping the Faith, a weekly discussion about issues of faith, spirituality, religion, and ethics. Now here's your host, Steve Shoemaker.
Today on Keeping the Faith, we're going to be talking about environmental issues and specifically a congregational program called Earth Care at the First Presbyterian Church of Urbana. And our guests in the studio today are David Sherwood, a professor emeritus from the University of Illinois, and Reverend Dr. Catherine Cusmall, who is the pastor at First Presbyterian Urbana. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
David, let's start off with you. What did you study at the or what did you teach at the university?
Okay.
And you're still teaching, I understand.
Yes. I would have taught the campus-wide general endocrinology course for approximately 30 years, generally with one or two colleagues. And in about 12 years ago, I began a course called Human Reproduction and Society. It's a so-called discovery course in one section. The other is general education for students from across campus.
And some of the people who are taking your courses are students here in the medical school, right, as well?
Yes. During the periods when I taught medical students, it would be exclusively medical students, but I was joint appointed in the Department of Molecular and Integrative Physiology. So most of my students then came from outside of the medical school, undergraduates and graduate students.
Mm-hmm. And Catherine, how long have you been a pastor at First Presbyterian?
It'll be 2 years in August, Steve.
Where did you come from?
But prior to that, I was on staff at Cary Presbyterian Church in the suburbs of Raleigh, North Carolina, for 9 years. And before that, I served as a family and outreach pastor in Leeds, England.
And we are fortunate to have in our studio today a silent listener from Leeds, England. Tell us about Margaret.
Margaret was the headhunter who found me in England. She was the clerk of session, which is sort of the layperson who's in charge of everything at a church that had not had a pastor for 6.5 years. And she tracked me down and said, "You're working for us." So I responded, and we worked together 2 years. It's a great experience.
Very good. Well, we're sorry our listeners can't hear that wonderful English accent, English the way it should be spoken. But today we're going to focus on Earth Care, and she's going to learn about it along with our other listeners around Illinois and Indiana and through the internet most anywhere. So, Earth Care is a program that does what, Dave? Tell us about Earth Care.
Okay. Well, I think the first thing I'd like to mention is that we're fortunate at First Presbyterian Church of Urbana to have had many people that for many years cared a great deal about sustainability and earth care issues. And our church has a long history, particularly in the area of facilities management of earth care practices. Our board of trustees has been diligent about identifying ways to conserve energy and water practices. We have individuals that are excellent gardeners that make sure that we utilize plants that don't require a great deal of water and are easy to care for. Within our earth, the practices of the life of the church, for many years, I think over 20 years, we've not used paper products. That for dinners and receptions and so forth, tableware and silverware, we've all been washed and we have been minimum disposal of paper products.
So it's not that you eat with your fingers at church necessarily.
Not at all. Not at all. It's and what's really been the people in the congregation has just been part of the culture. So it's been embraced for a long time. And I think finally I would like to mention is that about 3 years ago, a number of individuals in the church identified a use for an adjacent building that had been given to the church by one of our congregants on passing. And they started a thrift shop called Twice as Nice. And this thrift shop accepts a wide variety of household items, clothing, dishware, electronics, games, movies. And the principle of the whole thing has been to utilize the building, not destroy it, and avoid, you know, throwing that into the landfill, but to utilize the proceeds for worthwhile causes. About 50% of it goes for places of need, such as Center for Women in Transition, Eastern Illinois Food Bank. Catherine, can you think of some of the other things?
Gosh, lots of local ministries. Mm-hmm. I think Crisis Nursery has been a recipient, and Salvation Army. Mm-hmm. It's a big, long list. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I guess what I would say is that in getting some of the newer initiatives started at First Presbyterian Church of Urbana, we're really resting on the shoulders of people that have done it for a long time. And I know, at the risk of not wanting to call individual people necessarily to attention, but Dixie Jackson, who's been with our church, has been persistent leader and contributor in that area for a long time, and I think we owe her a great deal of debt in what the accomplishments of the past.
Okay. It often takes a person with both vision and energy to get programs
exactly,
like these going, doesn't it?
Exactly. Yep.
And congregations are made up of volunteers, and some of those are just amazingly effective.
Exactly. Yeah, it's something they care passionately about, and they're knowledgeable and know what will work within the framework of the congregation. Exactly.
Before I talk with Catherine a bit about these programs, let me give the phone numbers for listeners who might like to join this conversation or perhaps share something that's happening in a congregation you're part of. You can reach us here in Champaign-Urbana, Illinois, with local numbers if you're in the 217 area code by punching in your phone 333-9455. That's 333-WILL, the call letters of the station, of course. If it's a long-distance call, there's a toll-free line, 1-800-222-9455. And that's usable even if you're listening on the Internet far away, at least within the continental U.S. Maybe there are even people abroad who know how to make a free call to this country and then get into our phone system. I don't know how to do that. But the 800 number is 800-222-9455, 222-WILL. We're always eager to have listeners share thoughts and ask questions. Catherine, when you came to First Presbyterian Church in Urbana 2 years ago, was this a program that was already going on? I mean, obviously, parts of it have been. Was this something you were particularly interested in?
It's a great question, Steve. I think, as Dave said, we stand and have the privilege of carrying on a ministry that's been happening at First Pres for a long, long, long time. Something I found very interesting. I was intrigued by the thrift store. I asked lots of questions when I was interviewing about the space and how it's used, how it's shared. And I think the thing that has changed, and it's Dave and his team who have done this, is that the Presbyterian Church USA started this program called Earth Care Congregations. And it really came out of our national meetings in 1990, where they were very clear policy statements about the environment, policy statements that really call us to stay in touch with what's going on in terms of the contemporary meaning of what it means to be God's people in the world. And the sort of buzzwords back in 1990, right, were sustainability, responsible stewardship, which is practiced wisely and humbly, a standard about sufficiency, which is not just what I need to survive, but what we all need to survive, and then what it means to sort of live in community in a sense of solidarity, how we stand with people of means and people not of means to, in a sense, in my mind, embody the way that God loves us equally, in that sense of how we share that through our earth practices.
We have a caller waiting to join the conversation on line number one. Yes, you're on Keeping the Faith with our guest. Go ahead.
Well, hi. This is Eleanor Evans. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Eleanor.
It was so good to go with you and lobby for the environment in Springfield.
Yeah, that was a very worthwhile day, Eleanor.
Yes, it was. And I just want to tell you how much we appreciate sharing ideas with you, too, with your church. And I'm from Wesley, and we're having our food pantry this Thursday night. And I'm so glad that you contribute to the Eastern Illinois Food Bank, too. We're collecting seeds that night to give people so they can plant their own vegetables.
Since this program is heard over several states, you're talking about the Wesley United Methodist Church in Urbana.
Yeah, the Wesley United Methodist Church in Urbana on campus on Goodwin and Green.
Thanks.
And we have people in for food once a month, and we're going to be giving out seeds to them.
It sounds like a wonderful effort. I think from my position as a pastor, I think some of the best outreach we do is when we come together with sister and brother congregations and find a way to use the strengths from one congregation and the strengths of another and weave together something that is faithful and responsive. So thank you for your ministry and for your outreach to our community.
Yeah, I love the interfaith working together. I really do. And thank you for your ideas, too.
Thank you. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Appreciate the call. Thank you very much. Again, the numbers 333-9455 in Champaign-Urbana, Illinois. Elsewhere, 1-800-222-9455. Catherine, you were talking about some of the nationwide focuses that the Earth Care program here at your congregation is sort of part of. You talked about how it helps build community. Say some more about that.
Well, I think the first place it builds community is specifically in our Earth Care team and how we have a group of men and women of a variety of ages who sense a call, a passion to come together and work and move something forward. I think then that sort of vision, that sort of prophetic leadership then spills out into the wider congregation. It becomes how we teach our children. It becomes how we talk to our youth. It becomes a sort of springboard for things like our thrift shop. And I think it starts small. It's like that pebble in the pond. You know, we've got a handful of folks and they're working and it spreads out to the congregation and it can spread wider. And we see initiatives like community sustained agriculture. We see initiatives like what's going on at Wesley with seeds. And so we bring different specialties and are able to teach each other, to learn with each other, to learn from each other in a way that helps us get to know each other.
And it sounds like someone organized a interfaith ecumenical community that went and lobbied for environmental issues in Springfield. Our caller mentioned that you and she were part of that, Dave.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
All right. The Earth Care Congregation Program that we are now affiliated with through the Presbyterian Church urges congregations to participate in not only facilities management and education and worship, but also outreach. And our congregation actually, formation of our Earth Care team occurred after we had become acquainted with the organization Faith in Place. And the Central Illinois coordinator, Brian Souder, and Brian came to our church and provided 5-week seminar series on a number of local environmental problems and also describing Faith in Place. Faith in Place is the Illinois affiliate of the national organization Interfaith Power and Light, which began in California. And they are a very important focus is concerns about climate change. And so each year, in conjunction with the Illinois Environmental Council, there's a Environmental Day lobby. This year occurred, I believe, on Thursday, March 29th, in which a number of Faith, affiliated with Faith in Place. It's a totally non-denominational organization. And Faith in Place, Brian Sauter, the Central Illinois Coordinator, informs us of the legislation that is going to be lobbied for or against. And this year, I think of 150 people went, and it's growing each year, the number of people that go to Springfield. And I'll simply close by saying that what Faith in Place does is informs us, serves to organize us, and once you get to Springfield, you're actually guided by, there were some personnel that are volunteers that guide you right to the various offices, can tell you where to stand, which individuals are available. So it turns out that it would be quite effective. There were four legislators that I was supposed to have contact with that day and managed to have contact with all four. So you never know how effective you are in doing these activities, but I think given those circumstances, it works quite well.
Listeners can learn about Faith in Place several ways. You can, of course, search for them online, and you'll find a very helpful webpage. Brian Sauter's office is in Champaign, Illinois at the University YMCA. That number is 217-337-1500. His last name is spelled Sauder, Faith in Place. And you can also hear him answer questions on this show in our archives. We had a very interesting interview with Brian from Faith in Place, and you can find that by going to will.illinois.edu/keepinthefaith. Leave the G off, and you'll get to all of our archives. You'll find a little search box there and put in either Faith in Place or Brian Sauter, and you'll be able to listen at your convenience to that interview. Catherine, Dave was mentioning that one thing that Faith in Place encourages is concern for the environment in worship. Now, you're one of the main worship leaders at the First Presbyterian Church in Urbana. How do you do that?
That is a great question, Steve. I think one of the gifts for me of our Earth Care team is just their very gentle and persistent way of nudging me. And is that fair, Dave?
That's
He's
fair.
Laughing at me.
Not out with.
Yeah.
You say you're lobbying your own pastor, Dave.
Indeed, I think that happens. To find ways to get Earth Care related themes connected in worship, either verbally in preaching, verbally with the children. I often think back to my time serving in Leeds where we didn't have any printed bulletins. And I think if I said that too often, we might try that. And mm-hmm. that might be a challenge for some of us here.
In order to save paper.
Of course,
paper. Trees are a renewable resource.
If you're planting them, Steve.
I say that because my brother had a tree farm.
There we go. Exactly. You know, one of the opportunities we have coming up this week, and I'm sure Dave's going to say more about this, is we've got...
Do you want it to handle
No,
that?
I'll let you talk okay. about it, Dave, because you've made all these connections. But okay. I think Steve needs us.
Well, we do have two people waiting on the phone. Let's include them, and then we'll follow up with that in just a moment. We'll go first to line number one. Yes, go right ahead, line one.
Education is something that's really important when it comes to the environment or Earth Care, just getting out the good information and proper information. I'm just wondering about if you could follow up on education opportunities, yes. both for youth and adults mm-hmm. at First Presbyterian, and I'll take my answer off the air. Thanks.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate yeah. it.
Thank you for that question. I share your views on that. One of the things that in our Earth Care congregation, as I mentioned earlier, one of the things that you're expected to do is to educate in this area. We have made arrangements in our congregation now to have two seminars each year that are environmentally oriented, one in the fall, one in the spring.
What's a seminar?
It's a seminar series of either 3 to 5 weeks. Now, the first one, and I should say it at the outset, these are open to the public. They're secular in nature. The public is invited to attend. In the fall of 2011, we had a seminar on with residential home energy, in which we had five local people come in, experts in the area, representatives from Smart Energy Design Assistance Center, to talk about what one could do in the short term with limited resources to make their home more energy efficient. We then went on to a seminar that showed how you could do seal your home, do a full energy audit. And then finally, Ty Newell, a retired professor at the university, described how he built his totally energy independent home. In the spring of this year, we had a 3-week seminar on for a responsible or thoughtful home garden or landscaping practices, selecting plants that with minimal water needs, avoiding use of herbicides, pesticides that would contaminate the environment. And I could tell you that we've recently decided that our topic for the fall of 2012 will be, at this time we envision, a 3-week seminar series on the practice of fracking to get natural gas and oil. As your listeners probably know, this is a controversial but practice.
This is something you're going to encourage?
Personally, I don't think it should be done at all. But it's a very complicated, and the politics of it are extremely challenging because this has escaped a number of environmental protection laws. And I think what we'd hope to do is to have those that are support it and those that are concerned about it both, so that then individuals can come to their own conclusions.
We have another caller waiting, this time on line number 2. Yes, you're on Keeping the Faith with our guests, Dave Sherwood and Catherine Kuzmel. Go right ahead.
Yes, thank you. I wonder if your guests could tell us a little bit more about the Earth Care Congregation program. Are there things that you need to do to be a part of, and what kind of relationship does a local church have to the program at large? Thanks a lot. I'll take my answer off the air, too.
Thanks for the question. Catherine?
Thanks for calling, David. It's good to hear your voice, and I think we heard Jamie Ellis before that, all our fan club calling in. The Earth Care Congregation is a national program of the denomination. I think this is the second year that the program has been in existence, and what it asks congregations to do is to look at their own practices in the areas of worship, education, facilities, and outreach. There's a big, long tally sheet, and you get to do some self-analysis and add up points. And if you have, for a recertification, it's 50 points. I'm not sure if that's same for initial or not.
100
for your initial certification. Mm-hmm. So you fill out all this documentation. You put together a huge packet of information, which Dave and his team have done, and you send it to our national offices in Louisville. Last year, we became the first church in Illinois to be an Earth Care congregation, and now there are 4 churches in the state of Illinois and about 100 congregations nationwide. I am thrilled that we have been recertified for our second year as an Earth Care congregation. It's really it's a new thing, and it's a place where we can lead. It's also a symbol. Gosh, I wish we were on TV. I could show this symbol, but we're not. It's a symbol that we hope will engage people.
Describe it. And this is the theater of the mind.
Oh, the theater of the mind. All right, I'll give this a shot. So imagine with me, friends, if you can, a small globe that's blue and green. And around it, there are 8 hands with the fingers, palms, with the fingers pointing towards the earth. And around that, a green loop that says Earth Care Congregation. It's a symbol that you'll see on our webpage, on all of our publications. And we hope what it'll do is invite other people to bring their hands and join in with us. It's an easy way to be involved in the life of a faith community. And it's a way that we can really, I'm using my hands, but dig in and get our own hands involved in what it means to be stewards of God's creation.
Radio is actually much more vivid than television because people can imagine the hands that mean the most to them rather than just ones that some artist came up with.
Well said. Can I jump back
please
to the previous caller? I think one of the things I'm very, very excited about in terms of education with our children, I know at First Presbyterian of Urbana, we're moving forward, I think, with a summer program with our children, and it'll be, I think, 4 or 5 sessions focused on the parable of the sower. And each of those gatherings will have some sort of activity that's environment or environmental related. And so it is really a very hands-on way then to let our children lead us. I think all the time about what it is that our children say and do and how they really hold our hands and take us. So I'm excited to see how that will come into play. It would be a great opportunity for other children to come and join us and be a part of getting their hands dirty and learning about creation.
I'd like to just add a personal testimony. I was able to go to one of the seminars that you had at your church that were open to the public last year, and was one where you were talking about residential home energy use. And our home has geothermal heating and cooling, which we found very effective and helpful. But when I heard what Ty Newell was saying about how his home was completely off of the grid, it was just amazing.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it takes some examples like that that are actually functioning to kind of get the rest of us convinced it can be done.
Exactly. Yeah. If I could respond to that, after our second or third meeting, when they talked about the things that could do to have a residential audit, I know that I think a lot of people would like to do these things, are thinking about it, and I think sometimes having a program where they can actually see the mechanics of it is helpful. I know of at least 4 or 5 people that have told me that they've gone ahead and done these things and after the program. So it's helpful. Yeah.
We're about halfway through our Keeping the Faith program today with our guests, Reverend Dr. Catherine Cusmall, who's pastor of the First Presbyterian Church of Urbana, talking about Earth Care Congregation, and Professor Emeritus Dave Sherwood. And we have a silent listener here in our congregation from in our studio from Leeds, England, from a congregation over there who's visiting Catherine. So we're happy to have her. My name is Steve Shoemaker, and I'm the usual host for these Keeping the Faith programs here on WILL AM 580, heard also simultaneously at 90.9 FM, HD3, if you have one of those cool HD radios. And it's simulcast, of course, online at will.illinois.edu/AM. If you missed part of this program or would like to hear other programs that we've referred to, you may go to our archives. They're available at your convenience via computers and all kinds of electronic devices these days. I've had people tell me they plug in their iPhone to their car and listen to old programs as they drive. You can find all those at will.illinois.edu/keepinthefaith. Coming up in the next few weeks on this program on Sunday nights from 5 to 6. Next week we're playing an archive program, a quite special one. It comes from 1999. It was, I think, the 4th program we had of Keeping the Faith. I had just begun it here. And Roger Ebert was our guest, the noted Pulitzer Prize-winning film critic from the Chicago Sun-Times and well-known from his television show for many years. He was just about to have the very first Ebert Fest, or Overlooked Film Festival, as it was called back in 99. And he talked with me by phone about religious themes in the movies of that time and in classic movies. It's an interesting program, and we're going to replay it. It had been lost for years because we switched formats here at the station and went digital and all these things. But as many of you know, Roger Ebert lost his ability to speak 4 or 5 years ago because of throat cancer. And so he's quite excited to be able to hear this again. And in fact, he's using this CD of this archive program we discovered to help program his current computer so that it will produce his voice again as he types things in these days. It's amazing what technology can do. So at any rate, if you'd like to hear something from the recent past, that'll be April 22nd, 2012, here on WILL AM 580, Keeping the Faith, Roger Ebert. On April 29, Unitarian Universalist Pastor Axel Gehrman will be talking with guest host Don Nolan about the various Wall Street protests that have been going on the last several months. Our guest May 6th will be Joan Bailey, talking about how teaching adult Sunday school classes can be exciting. She has years of experience. We have an artist, May 13, Steve Gilday, who'll be talking about art, values, and the country of Japan. That's May 13. We have another artist coming up later in May, May 27, John David Mooney, the famous internationally known artist who works with light sculptures and all kinds of things that involve physics. He's going to be talking with us about physics and the arts. Other programs in the future. This summer, we'll be talking with Ron Sider about his new book, Fixing the Moral Deficit in the U.S. Economy. And Amy Kandrak will be a guest in July, talking about her very successful program, What Friends Do, helping people online find out ways to be supportive to folks in need. Well, let's get back to our guest today. We're talking about the Earth Care Congregations. We have a caller waiting on line number one to talk with us. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. Mr. Sherwood, I have a question for you. I was happy to hear you mention that you and your Earth Care team cared about climate change, and I also care about that. How has your program been able to feel that they are able to do something about such a gigantic and sort of daunting problem?
Go right ahead, Dave.
That's a good question. I think with me, or my sense, is that the place to start is with education. The aspects of this are so great and so complicated that I think one of the problems we have as a society is the lack of opportunities to sit down and examine in some detail the complexities and the level of challenges that are associated with things. And climate change is perhaps arguably the greatest physical challenge that we face. So one of the things that I would say is that one of the things I really appreciate about the opportunity to work within the framework of a faith organization such as our church is that it's an organization that has a long history. It has a strong, there's a strong involvement in ethics in its activities. It has intergenerational ethical concerns. And I think one of the problems with climate change is that it's a bit uncertain as to what the consequences will be. So we're dealing with the complexity of scientific uncertainty. So my feeling is that the best way, the thing that we can do is to learn as much as we can about what's taking place and then disseminate it in a progressive way, not just an isolated half an hour here and another half an hour next year. I think it just simply demands that we spend considerable attention looking at it.
Caller, would you like to follow up?
No, I was satisfied with that answer, and I support Mr. Sherwood and Reverend Cosmo's work on climate change and other environmental issues. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Dave, with your background as a scientist, and for listeners who may have joined us later, Dave Sherwood is a professor emeritus, taught in the med school and in the, LAS?
Yes, it was,
okay.
Actually. Yes, it was.
Liberal Arts and Sciences. As an endocrinologist, it's so hard in hearing all the talking heads and commentators on radio and TV and reading the papers and magazines to distinguish between lousy science and good science. How can lay people get help with that?
Well, that's one of the challenges is determining where you're going to take your information. Yeah. And my own view is that I look at what I judge to be the most responsible or most rigorous analysis of these elements. I look for there are most countries developed countries now have organizations in Australia and Europe and the United States that are monitoring various facets of what's taking place on Earth, whether it's the melting of glaciers, increase in carbon dioxide levels, acidification of the ocean, formation of dead zones in the ocean as regards. There's some very, very solid science being done in these areas. And so I urge people to go to the most scientifically rigorous data they can get. And I think there are places that I go to the panel looking at climate change is a very intergovernmental panel supported by the United Nations. I look at United Nations data that could come out from that organization as a primary source, national major organizations as sources, and they're putting out some really very solid educational materials, I think. So accessing that using that for education would be my suggestion. So much of what we're seeing, in my judgment, on the conventional news is basically promoting agendas independent of science in some cases.
And in some cases, trying to get attention or sell whatever it is, magazines, newspapers, or shows, by letting the fringe elements have the
absolutely
most time.
Exactly. It's who you select. Exactly. Yeah. And of course, there are some major financial issues at play, particularly surrounding energy. We hear the term clean coal. Well, I don't think that exists. The question of, it's been posed that we have energy independence now with the availability of natural gas in large quantities. There are differing views as to how long that will last, but fracking is used in most cases, to get at that. And that brings a whole host of environmental problems problems.
Which you're going to be talking about in your fall 2012 seminar.
Exactly.
Again, at the First Presbyterian Church of Urbana, but it's open to the public and, as you say, is a secular, basically.
Absolutely.
Secular program.
That's
Let me give the phone numbers again for listeners who'd like to ask a question or make a comment. 333-9455 in the 217 area code. That's 333-WILL. If it's long distance, 1-800-222-9455 is a toll-free call. We have another caller waiting on line number one. Go ahead, please.
Hi, I'm a member and a staff person at First Presbyterian Church of Urbana, and I have a question to pose that may take some time to respond after it's gesticulated a bit amongst the congregation, but I know we have a sister church relationship with the Jeans Church in Malawi, and I know we've been active in supporting shallow wells as well as farmer drought situations with fertilizer and other means to help their food production. What means of outreach do you see that may stem out of this Earth Care initiative that could help with sustainable agriculture and issues that Malawi is facing? And I will take it off the air as I have to get my daughter to a church function. Mom, here. Thank you.
All right. You can fortunately listen in your car. So the question of one of the poorest countries in the world in Africa, Malawi, is there any connection?
It's one of the challenges. Should I just be as brief as I can? That's a major, difficult question.
Of course.
One of the challenges is how we, as a global community, begin to address climate change issues when, in reality, and this gets into social and global justice, the problems in many cases that are being experienced in among the poorest countries are actually emanate from the richer countries such as the United States.
Sure.
And those that are looking at this in the greatest detail on a global scale are very much aware of this dilemma. And so there are thinking through ways in which the richer countries can make adjustments and in some way support the modest development or the development in the underdeveloped countries, because they obviously have aspirations to have lifestyles that are more comfortable than they presently have. And this is one of the great – that's a wonderful question, but there's no easy answer.
Catherine, comments?
Yeah, I would add to that. First, I'd say thanks, Mindy, for calling. Good to hear your voice. I would also say a lot of our long-term partnership with the Genus Church in Malawi is a relational partnership. I think where we are taught the most from our sisters and brothers in Malawi is when we go and we listen and we see their challenges in terms of irrigation challenges, fertilizer challenges, heat source challenges, what we do with trash. You know, it's very easy for us to sort of sit and say, well, they. And my sense of our partners in Malawi is that they're eager for us to come and see and learn. They're very open to learning with us. They have much to teach us about what their struggles are and what their aspirations are to figure out how we can best partner. It's one of the places I think sort of Earth Care and our missions committee and our folks who get to go to Malawi have some interesting overlap in terms of how we talk about justice and sustainability.
We have another caller on line number 2. You're on Keeping the Faith, talking about Earth Care. Go right ahead.
Thank you. Could Dave Sherwood tell us a little more about how his teaching in the area of reproductive biology and population connects with Earth Care issues? And I'll hang up and listen to his answer.
Thanks. Dave?
Thank you for that question, Marilyn. That's a great question. Actually, I've been interested in environment most of my life because I had the good fortune of living in a small town with lakes and rivers and was given free access pretty much all day. But when I went to became involved in studying reproductive biology at the University of Wisconsin, I had a course in which the topic was population growth, global population growth. And it became a concern, really, at that time, because the growth, as I think probably most of our listeners know, has been extremely rapid. When I was born, there were approximately maybe 2 billion human beings on the planet. Now there are 7 billion, and it's projected to be about 9.3 billion in a short 40 years from now. And so it became, I think, one of the things that we have to keep in mind as we go is it is projected that the underdeveloped portions of the global population will experience developmental progress. And what that will mean, of course, is that they'll want access to petroleum for automobiles and so forth. And with these, in a sense, staggering numbers of people that exist and those yet to come, that puts terrific challenges on how we're to maintain civil, comfortable lifestyles and still protect the rest of creation. So that's an excellent question. Thank you.
We're broadcasting from the middle of a large state university, the University of Illinois, and so many of the students here are concerned with environmental issues. Have you had good responses from young people, college age and younger, to concerns about the Earth?
Perhaps some of the listeners and those of us sitting around the table noticed in the paper today there's an article highlighting the Student Sustainability Organization. I may not have that name just right, but they have been leaders on this campus in a sense, nudging the administration to bring environmental improvements into the life of the university. And according to the paper today, I think the energy use has dropped about 20% through suggestions that are made by the students. And they back it up with resources. Apparently, there have been three opportunities when students have had the opportunity to say yes or no to increases in fees, with those increases going for environmental. And in each case, it's passed. So we're very, as a matter of fact, I think the University of Illinois has just an outstanding student support for environmental issues.
The student organization you're referring to is one that's been on this campus for, I think, over 35 years, called Students for Environmental Concerns, SECS. Mm-hmm. And from that, they have formed the Student Sustainability Council.
That's it. That's exactly
which,
right.
Which does have significant money to work with, because students have, as you say, voted to tax themselves
exactly.
more each semester for the money to go specifically to these kind of projects.
Exactly. Yeah, they're providing real leadership, and it's a very encouraging take.
What about folks at the church? Are there young people at the church who have participated in these seminars or participated in your committee, your team?
Yes, well, we do have our church is, what should I say, there's quite a few of those of us that are the graying within the church, but we do have younger members in our Earth Care team. We have three young members. Actually, the husband of one of our callers, we think, is Mindy, Jamie Ellis. And so, yes, they're taking leadership roles. And I wonder if I could just briefly make a pitch to other churches
or
other faith organizations in terms of what they might do. Our church, as Catherine mentioned, we have this wonderful Earth Care Congregation programs. Perhaps other churches have similar programs. What I would encourage people that are in faith organizations where something like this is not being done, could be done, or perhaps enhanced, is that we are lucky to have 10 people, and they're each one. One of the gratifying parts of it has been that each one really has an interest in various aspects of environment, and they contribute. In our case, we're not a committee, we're a team. We have no power within the church.
No budget.
No budget at this point, although I'm going to work on that, mm-hmm. Catherine. none whatsoever. But what I would say is what we try to do is do things that we think are feasible and important, and then we go to various, whether it's education, worship, and suggest here's an idea, and then say, if they need anything, serve to try to be helpful. So David Bullock, who is on our team and a relatively young man, is a co-coordinator for the team. So the two of us work together for the administrative aspects of the team. And for the people that are might be interested in other faith, I would like to make the point that within our community we have faith in place. I'd really emphasize getting in touch with faith in place in terms if this is an area that they would like to enhance their activities, because Brian will be, Sauder and his team will be very helpful.
And again, there's an archived interview with Brian Sauder, Sauder, from Faith in Place here on Keeping the Faith. People can go to will.illinois.edu/keepingthefaith and find those archive programs, put in the search box either Faith in Place or Brian Sauder. Catherine, tell us a little bit more about the thrift shop. When is it open? Who can go there? You mentioned that half of the proceeds get given away. People can also donate things there, mm-hmm. right?
The thrift shop is open Tuesdays and Thursdays and Saturdays. It's a wonderful opportunity to meet some folks who are connected with the church. I'm looking at Dave. I think it's 9 to 3 on all three of those days.
Yes.
It is 9 to 3. Thanks, mm-hmm. Dave. It's located at 607 West Elm Street. There's a big sign. It's a house. When they're open, there's a big blue banner that says open. You can receive donations during that time, which, of course, are all tax deductible, and do shopping during that time. It's a great way to give and to receive. It's also a great way that we do ministry in terms of helping folks who might be coming into the congregation with specific needs related to warm coats, not really this time of year, but often we'll have folks who come in and need some specific assistance.
And again, this is the Twice is Nice thrift shop, and it's another way to find it. It's a block north, right sort of behind the First Presbyterian Church of Urbana, which fronts on Green Street on the corner of Green and Orchard.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
602 West Green.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Steve, I don't want us to miss, this is your job, not mine,
no,
but I don't want us to miss that this coming Sunday is Earth Day. And Dave and his team, and I'm going to ask Dave to share a little bit about it, is bringing in a speaker from our national offices in Louisville. Dave and his team have set up a huge Earth Expo. It would be a great opportunity for folks in the community who want to learn more about Earth Care, who want to see how it lives and breathes in a congregation, to come and join us at 9:30 for worship and also some educational opportunities.
Afterwards, yes.
So that's next Sunday?
Yes. And would you like just a bit about the individual that's coming in?
Please do. April 22nd, Earth Day.
Yes. It's Reverend William, and I'm going to read this because it's a name I'm not familiar with, Sumplatsky Jarman, and he is the coordinator for social ministries in the Compassion, Peace, and Justice of the Presbyterian Church, and he oversees the Office of Environmental Ministry, so he is basically... And interestingly, he was raised in his home is Champaign, Urbana. So he's coming, in a sense, to be coming home. But he's been a delegate for the World Council of Churches to the climate change conferences international since 1995. And he's going to be with Catherine leading the worship service. And then the second hour, he's going to be talking about an earth justice issue in Peru, in which a large American company is operating in ways that are having devastating effects on the environment.
St. Louis, Missouri company.
Yes, I didn't
right,
know that. Okay.
Right.
But that will be the topic, and it's public topic. Very welcome.
Mm-hmm. So again, next Sunday, April 22nd, worship at 9:30, and then following that, it'll be what 10:30, 10:45.
10:45, about. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So people may be able to come to that event with Bill Sumplatsky Jarman. He is an excellent speaker and quite knowledgeable and very, very, very effective at what he does. I've heard him speak several times.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And again, as you say, a local boy made good. Catherine, tell us a little bit about ethics in relation to earth care. Why should churches not just be preaching the Bible?
Well, I think earth care is preaching the Bible, isn't it, Steve? I mean,
you tell me.
I will tell you. I mean, I think we have, in both Hebrew Bible and New Testament, countless references that talk about creation and how we're called to be stewards of it. I think of the Psalms, the earth is the Lord's and all that is in it. I think about women and men throughout Scripture who really give us a foundation for what it means to live in the earth and on the earth. You know, I think we're given this amazing creation. And the best things that we can do for it is have it be available for our children and our children's children and our children's children's children. I think where is it that the church can be a prophetic voice in this world? I think the church can be a prophetic voice in the world in terms of how we use our finances, how we care for the earth, how we educate our children, how we feed one another. And I see, as a Christian person, that's what Jesus embodied, left and right, caring for the earth, caring for what is entrusted to him, caring for people that are entrusted to him. They're so attached, I can't imagine them not being attached. However one reads the opening chapters of Genesis, it's either a very divine creation story. It's also you know, a way that we explain to children how it is that the Earth got here. And the story and the account is full of detail and beauty, which reminds us of the detail and beauty that we have the privilege of seeing every day.
David, as a professor of science here at the University of Illinois, a very large and often very secular place, how have you been able to be a person of faith as well as a rational scientist?
Yes, that's a one thing that I think about a lot. I would say that fundamentally I have faith in science. Science is very fundamental to me. I'm reading a book called Stages of Faith by Fowler, and he talks about what is faith, and I think I resonate with the view that he says faith is something that one doesn't even have to be in a faith community, a religious community, to have. That there are, and so I guess what I come from is I have faith. I see faith as more sense of values, things that give life meaning. And I think religious organizations can play a major role in an individual's faith or life stories, but I don't think being religious per se is essential. I don't know if that's is a satisfactory answer, because I'm still struggling with that one myself. But I will say very candidly that many of the things that I was taught as a youngster in a Methodist to faith where I was raised no longer resonate with me, and that I basically, which I say, I look for the things that within my whole perspective of sense of what makes life worthwhile and meaningful. And I find much within the church and the history of the church that's very helpful. Yeah.
Thank you for that. We are out of time on our Keeping the Faith program today. Our guests have been Professor Emeritus Dave Sherwood, who taught science here at the university and still continues to teach, although he's Professor Emeritus now, endocrinology, and been happy to have him. Reverend Dr. Catherine Cusmall is the pastor at the First Presbyterian Church, where this Earth Care program has been going on for a number of years, only the last couple of years with that name, but these concerns are a long time in that congregation. I'm Steve Shoemaker, the usual host for Keeping the Faith. I'd like to remind folks that the University YMCA, a longtime supporter of this program, will be beginning its big dump and run program here very soon. As students are leaving the university, they're invited to leave things of value that still have some use, not throw them in the trash, but put them in boxes around the campus for the Y to collect, or bring them by the University YMCA on Wright Street at the University of Illinois. They'll be saved over the summer, and there'll be a grand sale in the fall to new students coming who will find those things very useful. So another very practical recycling program supported by Students for Environmental Concerns, one of the programs of the University YMCA. Next week, our guest will be Roger Ebert via an archive program from 1999. Thank you for listening to Keeping the Faith.
You've been listening to Keepin' the Faith, the production of WILL AM 580. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants.
Hi, I'm Jim Fleming, host of To the Best of Our Knowledge from PRI. Looking for something to talk about at your next party or around the water cooler on Monday morning? Check in on To the Best of Our Knowledge each week. Science and religion, rethinking animal intelligence, maybe how memory works. Fascinating discussion on To the Best of Our Knowledge from PRI, Public Radio International.
Sunday evening from 7 to 9 on AM 580.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from these business partners: Busey Bank, Bates Commodities, Normal, Inuka Incorporated, Fairmount, and A-Plus Farms Limited, Pine Village. These business partners join the friends of WILL in making great programs possible. Thank you.
This is Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3.